Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Wall Street Journal reports Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas in Beirut before the operation. Then the reports become very difficult to follow. Within these last hours, the New York Times reporting that U.S. officials are saying that people who have reason to know about Quds Force operations, that is, Iran's terror wing projecting power outside of Iran, people who have reason to know are usually extremely well informed of operations underway, especially by Hamas. And they're saying that they did not know of the Hamas operation beforehand, meaning Iran did not know is the implication. But the language is extremely vague. So I'm going to turn to Benham Ben Talibu of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Because sometimes we know, says the news, sometimes we don't know, says the news. And it's extremely difficult to follow this, especially because we're in the midst of the fog of war. Israel is arrayed around the Gaza Strip. Israel is deployed to the north. There are threats from Hezbollah. There are threats from the West Bank. There's an American presence in the Eastern Mediterranean. There's much more of this story, but right now we're following the Iran linkage. Does it exist? Is it going to exist? Benham, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. I don't even have a clarity of the question I ask you. So, Iran, where are we in the explanation that Iran is the sponsor, the funder, the green lighter for the operation of October 7th? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. Always a pleasure to be with you and this distinguished audience. Listen, we all know that Iran remains the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism. We all know that Iran support, material, political, financial, for this kind of Islamist jihadist terrorism has been non-sectarian and ecumenical across the heartland of the Middle East for four decades. We all know they have a ground-up grassroots proxy network that carries out a foreign insecurity policy that benefits the hardline Islamists in Tehran, and all of these different moving pieces of the tentacle, all these different spokes in the hub, they all constitute the axis of resistance. We all know the dollar value that Iran gives Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. We all know since 2014, Iranian officials are talking about teaching a man to fish, not just giving him the fish. When it comes to the material support and the domestic production and the indigenization of certain weapons capabilities like rockets, drones, and paragliders. But even pushing beyond that, how do we know about Iranian involvement? Even pushing past the very good Wall Street Journal story, which has not been retracted, which has not been walked back, despite U.S. and select Israeli officials saying that Iran was not involved. How then do we know, notwithstanding all that I just said, about how to know that Iran is involved? It's not the fog of war, and it's not what we can't see through the fog. It's the fog itself. That's how we know. The fact that we cannot directly attribute is in and of itself the success of the Iranian proxy strategy in action. It's the success of the axis of resistance in action, which is Iran creating a proxy force like Hezbollah in Lebanon or Badr in Iraq, or co-opting an existing population with an existing grievance like Hamas in Gaza, like the Houthis in Yemen, arming them, training them, equipping them, and getting them to fire at will in a direction and against an adversary that the Islamic Republic shares. That is the success of the Iranian proxy strategy, being unable through national technical means, through signals, intercepts, and other kind of competing hypotheses, to be unable to fully see through the fog, to be unable to fully attribute, represents the success and the entire purpose with which Iran created this proxy strategy, to throw a wrench into the strategies that we have for attribution. And in and of itself, this debate about looking for one type of gun or one type of weapon or one type of signals intercept. We may not necessarily ever find that, but that's why we cannot afford to disconnect the dots. This is the success of the Iranian proxy strategy in action. I stress again, this is the success of the Iranian proxy strategy in action.
Let's move to something not as immediate as the horror story of Gaza. Let's talk about, you mentioned several surrogate strategies there. The one that I remember most difficult to interpret was Iraq, because Iraq was a country that once the U.S. had left was ripped apart by factions, not the least of which, of course, was ISIS. Iran got involved and Soleimani was on the battlefield. But as I recall, he was not using Iranian army elements nor the IRGC. He was using indigenous militias. I remember one in particular called the Hezbollah Brigade or something, but it's not Hezbollah, it's the Iraqi equivalent. Is that an Iranian strategy, to use the surrogates of another state to do your business so that you can claim you're not involved?
It is absolutely an Iranian strategy, and I'm glad you mentioned Iraq, because even though Lebanese Hezbollah represents the pinnacle of this perfection, in Iraq, the strategy to create proxies was so successful, it was replicated several times by Iran's proxies themselves. If you remember in the early course of the war in Iraq, from 2003 to about 2005, 6, all of these groups didn't have names yet. They were called JAM, Jaish al-Mehdi Special Groups, the Mehdi Army Special Groups. This loose ragtag coalition of special groups ended up becoming these offshoots like Kataib Hezbollah or the Hezbollah Brigades or As'ab Ahl al-Haq or the Promise Day Brigades, things of that nature. But the proxy strategy has been so successful for Iran in Iraq that Iran's proxies in Iraq have picked it up. There are now new groups as of 2020, 2021, a proxy of a proxy of a proxy, Ashab al-Kaf, Usbat al-Ta'irin. These are all proxies of proxies of proxies. But John, whether it's in Beirut, Damascus, or Baghdad, or even in this case, Gaza City, all roads lead back to Tehran.
One more detail that occurs to me while you explicate. Al-Qaeda, that's an Iran surrogate, correct? That's why they housed the Al-Qaeda leadership all those years. It did the bidding of Iran. Have I interpreted that correctly? We have about a minute or so.
Partially. I wouldn't go as far as to say surrogate, but one reason Iran detained and kept so many of the Al-Qaeda commanders so that it could radicalize the Sunni street at a time of its own choosing. Iran unleashing Sunni terror from one border to another border, taking folks from the Afghanistan theater, throwing them into the Iraq theater, knowing full well that would lead to civil war, attacks on U.S. and coalition forces. And then ultimately, if you broaden out the map, look at all the countries that have had al-Qaeda or al-Qaeda affiliates active on their own soil. Iran likes to have al-Qaeda on its own soil for laissez-passer, for terror finance. All these things are proven. But one complicating factor against fighting al-Qaeda is that if you look at the entire map of all the places that have had al-Qaeda branches and affiliates, the only country that has hosted al-Qaeda but has not been subject to a drone strike against an al-Qaeda person is Iran. Every other jurisdiction, from Somalia to Yemen to the Sinai, to Afghanistan, to Pakistan, to the heartland of the Middle East, every other place that has hosted al-Qaeda has had U.S. drone strikes there. Iran's retention of these forces provided a safe haven for al-Qaeda and continues to provide one of these major Sunni groups a way to organize, fund, train, and equip.
Ben and Ben Talablu, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.